When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
All right.
And we are live here on Dirty Mo Live, Dirty Mo Media from the Bojangles Studios in Dirty Mo, North Carolina. I don't know.
In Dirty Mo, North Carolina.
How y'all doing? This is becoming our thing.
Gosh. Oh, God. Who's got the volume on the TV?
We forgot to, because we
first
have the TV
rule
up.
Of streaming.
We have the TV up so we can read your guys' comments and, we didn't mute it.
Sorry, I was focused on my beer. This is a beer toast.
Congrats,
for Justin Allgaier, our most popular Xfinity driver.
That's right. Yeah,
it's because of this show,
because
actually.
Of us.
It's 100, not any of his on track or off track, you know, humanity stuff that he does. It's all because he came on here and spilled that Celsius. Everybody was like,
he's a man of
the
people.
They're like, man, I've spilled something before.
Yep, I know what that feels
like. I can relate, yep. Justin Allgaier.
Voting was also closed by the time that he even came on.
We're also... Late in the show, we have something to talk about that was in relation to that party foul.
Yeah, we have a couple things to talk about, but that will be for later. So
double
stick
O.
around for that. We've got some minor.
Wait, is it Double O's birthday?
It's not.
I wanted to know if it was
Double O. Happy birthday,
Double O. When is your birthday?
Yeah, we'll have to find out. But hey, we're here to talk about the TV deal.
Yep.
Big. I mean, that's what we were waiting on for so long was. When's this TV deal going to come out? What's it going to look like? Who are going to be the players involved? And we have some answers for that now. It is going to be Fox taking over the first 14 races of the season.
Yep. Point races, folks.
Point races. Yes.
So the Clash, the All-Star race, that kind of stuff doesn't count.
That's on Fox also.
Yes.
Then we go to...
Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
Yes. For five
which
races.
Which is for five races, which is brand new. New partner that we've never had in NASCAR before. TNT then takes over the next five races, and then we finish the final 14 races of the year off, as we have done on NBC. So we want to know what you guys think in the chat here about that TV deal. We're going to discuss it. We're going to bring on someone who knows a lot about it, who's been watching this, who's been covering this since the rumblings of the TV deal have started. Adam Stern from Sports Business Journal will be calling in to talk all about it. Yeah. But
also, we forgot Slim Jim reminded, practice and qualifying will be able to be watched all year long. First half, Amazon. Second half is on Max.
Right.
So that's also.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wait, so really? Like even during the Fox portion?
You can go to Amazon and watch practice and qualifying.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yep. I didn't know that part.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I mean, I enjoy myself a good qualifying session, and, you know, to find that all in one place, you know, even though it's split halfway through the year, you know, being that I already have Amazon Prime, I'll be excited to just tune into that.
Raw reactions you guys had when the news broke just a few days ago.
What you got?
No, I'm happy for NASCAR and the sport. I think it's a big step forward. I don't think it's a step. I think it's a big step.
Yeah.
Like, go look at what ESPN pays for F1.
Yeah.
And go look at what these networks has paid NASCAR. I think people like to think that F1 is, you know, this big thing, which it is. But and NASCAR sometimes gets a knock. But I think this shows if the numbers are right, $7.7 billion, $1.1 each year. It's a lot of money.
The thing I'm taking away from it is, you know, it wasn't that long ago when there was the rumors of how long is NASCAR going to be around? You know, like I remember that being a fan for as long as I've been a fan. And looking at the $7.7 billion deal with some of the biggest players in the TV and streaming market coming to be a part of it, I think you can't be anything but happy for NASCAR as a whole. I think that... You know, people have said some things about, you know, oh, we're going to have to find different channels and so on and so forth. But I really think that this is a big win for the NASCAR community as a whole. So
also, Xfinity, all on CW, Trucks, FS1.
All on FS1. But
I just got a text from our buddy Adam Stern.
Oh,
he says he's ready to jump on in.
Let's
I think
do it.
Alex is getting him in the waiting room, aka getting
AKA
him
on the
getting
horn.
It all set up on our audio boards here. But we're gonna get Adam Stern in here. It looks like in a second. I think we got him. Adam, we got you. Maybe. Maybe not.
Hold on. We're going to wait for a thumbs up from our producer, Alex. He said, yep, I think so.
Do we got you, Adam?
Oh,
we're still missing him.
Oh, no.
Man, and we practiced this technology. We tested it all out before.
We were here early. Like, we could have went early today. That's how like ahead we were.
Yep.
Well, while we wait for Adam to get in the room, and Adam, if you're there, just let us know we're here. Let us know. I think it's, and I saw a few comments in the chat here about Amazon Prime, and I mean, that's going to be the first kind of subscription-based program that you're going to have.
It's the first streaming service, exclusive streaming service. So there's no TV, there's no, you know, there's no like TV channel or like show coming on after, right? It's just like TV.
Yeah, there's no rush. Like if it's 4:55 and the race ends, it's not like they got to get out at 5 because they got other stuff coming on. Like
that is a great point.
Yeah. So there's no like Travis said earlier.
They're not beholden to television rules.
There's no reruns of NCIS coming on after.
Case in point, when Denny wins, but then there's a fight between Ross and Noah, they can cover it all. They're not like trying to like
they're not pressed for time to make a window, or it's like, hey, switch over to X network because we have, you know, something else coming on. Yeah, I see there's two comments here I want to touch on. First of all, we've hit the Cup series, but then the Xfinity series has the CW.
Right.
Which will be all season long.
Yep. Right.
Which leads me to our comment from
right above that.
Master of Light 24, big DBC fan. It's like, any predictions on who could be in the booth for CW, TNT, Amazon Prime? I mean, there's a lot of spots to fill, and I think we have Adam here. Let me know if we do. Oh, I can hear him. He's
hear
low.
A little bit of something.
Adam, thank you for being patient, working through our technical.
I heard of something.
Technical.
This is, you know, and this is what the show is for. You know, like just to have fun, and sometimes stuff isn't always going to work out perfectly. That's why it's live.
Yeah.
It's Dirty Mo Live.
All right, Adam, I think we got you. No.
I'll just start doing my Adam. I've never heard Adam talk, but I'll do my impression. Well, as far as who we think is going to end up on each one, I mean, obviously, I think the formula kind of goes of like driver, you know, play-by-play guy, whoever. And there's other people in the booth, like Steve is the crew chief and Larry Mack is the crew chief on that side. So who do we think would go towards one? And not who do we think, but who do we think could be good people?
Well, this was my first reaction was from 00 commented Alan Bestwick. Like, he has to come back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Either for one of the three networks that's new, like, that has to be someone who is going to make a return in the booth. And we know nothing.
Right.
But you would think that would be one of the guys that that would be worth doing. So,
definitely.
All right, Tim's giving me the point. We're going to try Adam one more time here. Oh.
Oh, I hear something.
Adam, I think we got you. I can hear
Adam. You there?
Hey, I got you.
Oh,
we did it.
Hey, thank you for thanks for being patient while we worked through those technical difficulties. We were literally like doing test calls right before we went live. We're like, all right, we're good. And then the technology decided to not cooperate with us. Yeah. But thanks for jumping on. And how you doing, man?
Doing great. Absolutely. Yeah, no problem at all.
So we're talking all about this new TV deal. I know you guys at SBJ have been covering this pretty in depth. We were talking about our first reactions with it. What was your first reaction to, I mean, you probably knew the news before it was actually broken, but like initial thoughts on how this whole TV deal ended up working out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the initial thought is that NASCAR pulled it off. You know, it took them longer than they were expecting. But at the end of the day, they were able to deliver a deal that certainly, you know, there's some things that need to be delved into a little bit deeper, and we can talk about that. You know, there's some people in the industry who will always say, hey, maybe this could have been better, A, B, C, D, or maybe this is something to watch out for that's not quite as rosy as the way it was made out to sound. So we can talk about some of those potential concerns, but overall, you know, NASCAR was able to deliver a huge media deal that, you know, going off of the numbers that we're hearing, you know, it's less total money than what they got last time. In terms of last time, it was $8.2 billion, but that was over 10 years. So last time they got $820 million average annual value. This time it's $7.7 billion over 7 years. So almost the same amount that they got over 10 years, they'll get now over seven. And therefore, the average annual value is $1.1 billion, and that's a higher amount. So theoretically, they can now take this and, you know, to kind of use the government, economic term, they can redistribute it. You know, kind of that's what you do in sports, right? Like, this isn't just pure government and citizens. This is a sports league. So, you know, we see this in stick and ball leagues where revenue is shared in a lot of ways amongst, you know, the teams. And those are the franchises that own the league. This is a little different because the NASCAR teams don't own NASCAR. So it's not quite a stick and ball league.
Right.
But nonetheless, you know, as we know, the league and the teams have been working closer together in recent years. Teams have been asking for more money under this new deal. Well, NASCAR got more money on an average annual value than they were previously getting. And that was no small thing. That was no sure thing. There's kind of this thought that, hey, sports is like the one place where money grows on trees. And, you know, the values are just going to continue to escalate no matter what until the end of time. Not necessarily true. You know, the media companies right now, just within the last year, have started to come under a lot of significant pressure in different ways. Investors are looking for them to be more profitable. And so, you know, you look at what happened with like the Pac-12, for example. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12 collapsed in college sports in an unbelievable historic development, in no small part because media companies were not spending as much as they had been in recent years. And that led to a disaster for them. So, you know, you also look at like WWE's recent media rights deal. They didn't get quite the size of the increase that some of their investors were hoping for, which caused the WWE stock to tank a little bit. And that was like another example of a potential canary in a coal mine, a warning sign that the sports media rights bubble could pop soon, or at least, you know, get closer to that point than many thought might be the case a couple years ago. And so NASCAR had to negotiate its deal amidst all this, and that's not easy. And that's part of why it took longer than they were hoping for. But at the end of the day, they were able to get this $1.1 billion AAV, average annual value, that will hopefully set them up to strike a deal with their team and avoid, you know, a mass kind of labor disruption or huge issue like we've seen in some other sports. So then you talk about the fact, of course, that, you know, some of these companies now will promote NASCAR when they previously haven't been. Things like Bleacher Report, we can talk about that as well.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon now promoting NASCAR, it's never done that before. That's one of the richest companies in the world.
Yeah.
They, of course, run Prime Video, which has over 100 million subscribers of people who are, you know, quite often younger, more technologically savvy, et cetera. So there's a lot of elements and things to say, hey, NASCAR did a pretty good job here. But there's also still some things that we can dive into that there are concerns as well. You know, there's going to be less races on network TV. NASCAR's production costs are probably going to go up a little bit because they're going to have their big new production facility.
Uh-huh.
So if their costs are going up, then that would potentially affect the overall business deal. Even if your revenue is going up, if your costs are also going up, then you might be getting less profit than if it was just your revenue was going up, but your costs were the same. So there's some things to dive into that teams and some industry folks are still wondering about and saying, hey, is this as great of a deal as it's being made out to seem? But overall, it's hard to say that this is a bad deal for NASCAR. Overall, it seems like it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I'd agree.
What concern does NASCAR have with this deal? We saw the ratings this past year. Is there a concern with them moving to so many different platforms that the ratings could take another potential hit?
I think it has to be a major concern. And you know, basically, ultimately, it's kind of like a pick your poison situation. Whereas, you know, could NASCAR have done a deal where all of their races would have stayed on Fox and NBC, and, you know, Fox Sports and NBC Sports, and a bigger percentage of them would have been on Fox and, you know, the big Fox channel, the big NBC channel? They could have probably done that. It likely would have resulted in less money. Mm. You know, and so that's usually what these situations come down to. You look at, for example, MLS. MLS took a big deal with Apple to put all of their, almost all of their games behind, you know, Apple TV's paywall. And they did that in no small part because that was the most money they could get. And they had to deliver for their industry. Their industry, you know, is expecting to be a growing business, and they don't. And one, you know, one of the most important ways to be a growing business in sports is to have growing media rights revenue. And so I think it was a similar situation with NASCAR where, look, of course, on one hand, they also want to be on Amazon Prime to kind of get ready for the future because they don't know exactly what's going to happen with the future of TV. You know, cable subscriber numbers are dropping precipitously. Every quarter, it feels like they're dropping a couple percentages. A couple percentage points, which is a huge drop. And, you know, so partially they did this to spread their eggs into multiple baskets. But also part of it was to get more money and to make sure that they could deliver more money for their industry at a time when their teams are saying, hey, we need more money. We're not profitable currently. So it was kind of a pick your poison situation because they needed to get more money, but to get the maximum amount of money that they could get, they had to do a deal in part that, you know, is going to see them have less races on network TV. I mean, even when you look at the deal with Warner Brothers Discovery, those races are going to be simulcast, not just on Max Streaming BR Sports tier, also on TNT. But TNT is cable. It's not, you know, a free-to-air channel. You have to have a cable subscription. So, you know, the number of races that are going down from that have been on network, that is something that teams are concerned about because the ratings will theoretically probably be lower. The hope is that they're not that much lower, but they're probably not going to be higher to start. So it's definitely a concern and something that I'm already hearing about from teams. But again, NASCAR is in a tough situation because they had to deliver more money as well. And clearly if they went this route, that's a good indication that's because they had to go this route to deliver more money for their industry.
That's interesting. You talk about the, you know, shift from cable television to streaming. Since we've been live on YouTube, especially since you've been talking about that, that seems to be a lot of the comments we're having on YouTube right now is concern over Amazon Prime, saying we have fans saying, well, hey, I don't have Amazon Prime. I don't have access to it. You know, what kind of impact would that look like? Because this is a first for NASCAR of going to a streaming exclusive program that's not simulcast anywhere else but that program of Amazon.
Yeah, it's a huge step. I mean, in speaking with NASCAR president Steve Phelps a couple of days ago as they were getting ready to announce this, he said that the data they've seen is that a significant portion of their fan base has Amazon Prime. Mm. And Prime Video. So NASCAR is saying that they have seen internal data to show them that this move makes sense. You know, one thing we know is that and this is something that seemed intuitive, but was also confirmed by Phelps, which is that they have been keeping their eye on what Amazon Prime Video did with Thursday Night Football in the NFL. And, you know, while the ratings maybe have been a little bit softer this year, overall, the NFL's ratings have been pretty impressive in terms of what they were previously getting for similar games on TV. And now looking at what they're getting on strictly this exclusive streaming service, you know, Amazon Prime Video, the numbers at times have been, you know, 50, 60, I think maybe at the absolute peak, maybe 70, 75% of what they used to get on TV. So, you know, it's not like their ratings have gone from 100 to zero. I mean, they've gone from 100% to 50% or 60%. So, you know, the numbers have definitely dropped from what the NFL used to get in terms of what their games are now getting on Amazon Prime Video, but it's not dropped more than 50%. I mean, they are still getting millions and millions, you know, quite often close to 10 million in their case, of people watching, you know, Thursday Night Football exclusively streaming. That's a gigantic number of people exclusively streaming an event digitally. Like, that's a huge, huge number. So that's given NASCAR a lot of confidence that this can be done, both in terms of Amazon's technological capabilities and know-how and their bandwidth, but also, you know, the fact that there's so many people that subscribe to it that are sports fans. You know, they have over 100 million people, I believe, well over 100 million people that are subscribed to this. So, you know, when you look at the cable universe, that has dropped to under 100 million. Like, the amount of people in the U.S. who are cable subscribers, I believe, is now around 65, 70 million people. That was over 100 million. That number was over 100 million just 5-10 years ago. So, you know, I think NASCAR definitely sees this as a risk, and they understand it's a risk that they're going to do this for the first time, but they see this as the proper time to take the gamble. We're kind of in this in-between phase where maybe by the 2030s, streaming is going to become like the most important medium, but it's not there yet. Cable and TV still remain very important. Look at the NFL, like, you know, how many, you know, as much as the NFL is experimenting with streaming, the majority of their games are still on over the air free TV or ESPN cable. So, you know, cable and TV still remain highly profitable. They still remain a medium that a lot of people use, most people use in certain ways, but there's these cord cutters and cord nevers, people who don't have cable, and the number of those people are rising. And as that number rises, you know, every sport is having to confront that, and NASCAR feels like this is the time for them to take this calculated gamble. But it's going to be fascinating to see. I mean, you can even see comments on Twitter X, et cetera, already where people are saying, well, I'm not going to get Prime Video for those five races. And if I don't watch those five races, I might just not watch the entire season. Now, that's probably a little bit of saltiness and pouting as this deal gets announced and people go through and kind of understand this. But it will be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, like you said before, Amazon is a powerhouse in the world right now. I mean, it's, you know, there should be kind of a winning feeling to having someone as important in the media world as them wanting to buy into our sport. And so while it could be a little bit tricky to navigate between, you know, the streams and the channels and however, it's not that much different than it was forever ago when you used to have to go to the TV guide and figure out, was it on ESPN or was it on, you know, TNT or CBS. So I definitely think that, you know, there's some hiccups that are going to come along, but we're going to see a huge investment in the future, I think, of, like I said, some big players at the table. The one question I had for you, Adam, is this is going to start in 2025. And so with that being said, the NASCAR schedule next year, if it was this year, Amazon would get like Sonoma, you know, Gateway, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nashville. Are they asking for a more marquee race? Like, do they want a more marquee track like Daytona or Bristol? Do you think those kind of negotiations are going to be going on and affect the schedule in 2025?
Well, I mean, it seems like they've already kind of determined, you know, largely, I guess, how, I mean, to your point, it will be interesting to see how much, because of course you're right, we only know 2024 schedule at this point. This deal doesn't start till 2025. I mean, but there are certain things we already know. I mean, like, for example, there had been rumblings during this process in recent years that NBC wanted the Daytona 500. And that didn't happen. You know, it appears like Fox, and there were kind of rumblings that Fox said at the time, like, hey, you know, either we keep the Daytona 500 or we're out. So it'd be interesting to talk to them and see exactly what kind of got said there. But those were some of the rumblings that happened in recent years as these deals were getting negotiated. Clearly, we know that, you know, Fox is going to remain with the first 14 races of the season and Daytona. So, you know, in certain way, and we know NBC is going to keep the end. So they're going to keep the championship race. So some of those things have somewhat already apparently been determined, and some of those things are going to remain the same. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Of course, with Fox having the first 14 races of the season, then Amazon getting the next five, and then Warner Brothers Discovery getting the next five, how much they'll be pushing to have some of those, you know, how much Amazon will be pushing to say, hey, races 15 through 19, we think, you know, we want to have the Chicago Street Race. Something like that. That, yeah. that will be something to really right. keep an eye on. So right. That will be really interesting to see. I would imagine, of course, they have some time to figure that out because they have, you know, a year basically to get that sorted, or maybe not quite a year, but a little bit less. So, yeah, I think that will be something that really will be interesting to see, you know, what kind of races they're able to kind of convince NASCAR that should go on TNT and Max or Amazon and whatnot. I'm sure some of that horse trading will start going on pretty soon.
I know that the teams were hoping to get the charter deals done before this. One, does this help them with that deal? And then also, where does that stand with NASCAR and the charter deals getting done?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, it like, I mean, there's been some reaction from some folks on the team side that said, hey, maybe this would have been nice to be a little bit of a bigger deal. Or, you know, it would have been nice to not have quite as many races going away from being on broadcast. So, you know, I think there's some reservations on the team side. It's not like everyone from the team side has been absolutely saying, you know, head over heels happy. But I think there's also a little bit of unrealistic kind of projections by folks on the team side. I mean, one thing you got to keep in mind is NASCAR's ratings have indeed, unfortunately, dropped by 50% or maybe even higher since the last time they negotiated this deal in 2013. So if you think about it, it's actually quite impressive that your ratings could drop by 50 to 60%, and yet you still get a 40% increase in the rights. So, you know, I think did teams wish that maybe NASCAR was getting more like $1.3 billion or $1.4 billion, something like that? Sure, they do wish that. You know, some of them do, because then it would be easier for them to get more money from NASCAR in their upcoming negotiations. But I think most team executives, you know, feel like anywhere from NASCAR did a good job, or at least they did a good enough job. And yeah, it does set teams up to get more money. I mean, NASCAR has now announced, you know, essentially to the world that they've gotten more money under this next deal. And they've acknowledged, of course, publicly, even just as recently as this week with Steve Phelps, their president, that the teams are not profitable by and large. So I definitely think this sets them up for you know, better in terms of the teams are now, you know, well suited to say, hey, we deserve, you got the extra money, and we now we need that passed on to us. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a smooth road in these negotiations. I was just speaking to someone earlier today who's pretty familiar with, you know, teams' thoughts. And, you know, I asked them, is this deal going to get done with the teams by the Daytona 500? And their answer was no, not necessarily. You know, I think there's a level from there's some teams already in NASCAR who feel like they're getting offered, at least the outlines they've seen from NASCAR, they feel like they're pretty good, but there's going to be a couple holdouts, and there's going to be a couple teams that are going to be pushing for better than what NASCAR is probably going to offer up right away. And then you've got the element of the charters as well. Exactly what happens there? Do they become permanent? We could see a situation kind of like a middle ground where there's maybe like an auto renewal for charters where they're not permanent, but as long as teams kind of fulfill certain things that are laid out, then they'll automatically renew every so often. So we have to see what happens there, but I do think this deal sets the teams up to eventually get a deal done with NASCAR, but it'll be really interesting to see how hard they push in the meantime. And, you know, do I expect, you know, a live golf situation where there's going to be some rival league started up? Like, I'm not expecting that. I do think ultimately we're likely to see the sides come together and find a deal, but it's not necessarily going to be smooth. And we could even see teams pull, you know, some stunts in the meantime, some stuff to kind of make NASCAR a little bit uncomfortable as teams make clear that they don't feel they're getting exactly what they deserve. So I do think that ultimately this helps set up a new charter agreement, but there's going to be a lot of negotiations in the meantime, and it might not be entirely smooth.
Man, I think all that's fascinating. Adam, thanks for taking some time out of your busy day to talk to us about this TV deal, charters, the future of NASCAR. I learned a lot. I'm sure you guys did too.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, man. It was good to hear from you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. That was Adam Stern.
I mean, he's one of my go-to
Business Journal
Twitter
yeah.
accounts when I'm prepping for accomplishment or whatever.
Like, if you're in the YouTube chat and you don't follow Adam Stern on Twitter, like, that is where the breaking news
yep.
happens. Yep. That's the first time you hear of so many moving pieces in the sport is Adam's the first to break it. So I've told him a million times, like, he is one of the best reporters in that NASCAR garage week in, week out. So it was good to hear from him and learn a few things about how this TV deal ends. I think the most interesting to me is, and it seems in the chat here, is the concept of cable and streaming and that, you know, back and forth tug of war that seems to be going on right now.
Right.
That to me is, I wasn't fully expecting that reaction, but that is, that's interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's smart for NASCAR to hedge their bets a little bit and go, okay, well, if cable isn't necessarily going to be around, you know, let's make sure that we're on a streaming platform, for some intents and purposes. Like, maybe cable isn't around in 10 years, you know, maybe it's all streaming. So definitely smart to kind of dip your toe, like people are saying. So,
yeah.
So I'm trying to pull up to talk about, you know, what NASCAR just pulled off. ESPN's F1 deal, I'm reading here, the 3 years reportedly between 75 and 90 million per year.
Wow.
ESPN to cover F1.
Yeah.
And so NASCAR, if my math is correct, is getting almost 10 times that. Right? 90
yeah.
million times 10 would be 900 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, more than 10 times what F1 is getting from ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing I'm curious about with Amazon is, will they just follow what past networks have done with the broadcast, or will they get creative,
they
especially with their commercial breaks?
I will say, I really love their football product. Like, when I watch it on Thursday
yeah,
night,
I mean, like,
it's really good.
It feels natural.
And they also have, like, it's like that AWS analytics thing where they'll go, this play, we're going to have our AI look at it, and we can tell you whether or not someone's going to blitz or not on this play.
Like,
so, like, looking at, like, having AI at like, analyze a car and be like, oh, like, I bet our AI could figure out what tire pressure he's running. Or
the add-ons.
You know, yeah, all the different things that bring to the table. I am so excited to watch that.
And I wanted to mention, and I see Jeff Coffey's in the chat.
Shout out, Jeff.
We met him at Ultimate Experience. One of, I think they've been to every single one.
I think all but one.
All but one. Yeah, so good to see you, Jeff, in the chat. But another, I think, a huge win is that House of Highlights and Bleacher Report are going to start covering NASCAR. Like, that is how you get NASCAR. Not that NASCAR isn't in the mainstream, but holy cow, that is going to hit an audience that has not touched that before.
Well, and
it's
think about the social media presence, like, that Amazon Prime Video has, the House of Highlights has, the Bleacher Report has. Like, you know, we're basically covering the entire sports market outside of ESPN.
And, you know, so Amazon is going to have 5 races, and Turner is going to have 5 races.
Mm-hmm.
You know what 5 races would be perfect for one of those people?
10 races. Sorry.
He can't help himself.
I know where you're going.
I think I know where you're going with
Teed
this.
Up.
A bracket challenge in 25.
Man, imagine.
If Amazon packages Puppy up and does the Denny Hamlin bracket challenge, it's sitting there waiting for
you. Well, and you know what's interesting is
better?
Like, we were talking about each network wants their marquee thing. And, like, Fox is not going to give up Daytona 500.
So nor should they.
NBC wants the playoffs, right? So it's like, you got to find where is that thing in the summer these two new networks can find?
Right now, if the 24 schedule was for 25 when
just
this goes into effect, Amazon would get Gateway, Sonoma, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nashville. Turner would get Chicago, Pocono, Brickyard, Richmond, Michigan.
That Turner one
would
be
really
cool.
I feel like that's going to be shake. That's going to shake up.
It'll shake up. I think next year, and obviously, like, you know, things will move around a little bit, but I think if they started at COTA and then did Richmond, Martinsville, Texas, and then Talladega, end at Talladega for the bracket challenge, right? I think that would be a really, really good mix of tracks. You have a road course, you have short tracks, and you have a super speedway all in that mix. I don't know if they could move those to June. I'm not sure how that works, but yeah, man, it would be so cool to have like an Amazon-backed challenge for the drivers and then put some money on the line. Do something for the drivers. Yeah. Like,
a free Prime account.
The money. Yeah, yeah. Whoever wins the bracket challenge
shipping.
Gets Prime for free for a month.
Well, that's the other thing we were talking about. A lot of people say, you know, we don't have this, streaming service. Amazon Prime is the most versatile thing to buy into.
Well, and
you
then
don't
I'll
even need
say this.
Prime. You just need to have a Prime video subscription.
And,
you don't
and
need the full Amazon
you
Prime.
Need it for 5 weeks. Like, and, yeah. and again, this is not the, I don't think Amazon's going into this being like, we want people to sign up and cancel after basically 2 months. But if that is a concern for you, that price point of, I think it's $10, $11 a month. I mean, really, you only need that for 2 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So unless you want to watch practice and qualifying.
That's $16.
Yeah.
$18, $8.99. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it'll look a little different. It's just like with any sort of change, it's going to be a little weird at first. But by the second year, I think it'll be completely normal and, you know, something that I'm excited to see.
And the networks have, in Adam's article, he said that the networks have agreed to cross-promote. So you're going to see towards the end of NBC's run, hey, Prime.
Right.
Prime's,
you mean Fox.
They're going to be, no.
Towards the end of and Fox.
Yeah, Fox yep. is going to go to Prime. Prime to Turner
yes.
to NBC. So with their,
well,
it's 2023. Like, if you can't find where the race is the next week, I don't want to be mean, but that's on you.
Well, yeah. and
exactly.
And the thing is, Dale Jr. says, he said this over and over. He's like, we at NBC root for Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Fox has a great year, we benefit from that as well. And if we do a good job, Fox is going to have great momentum rolling into the next season. So it's like you said, all these networks want the other to succeed.
Right.
And of any sport, the people covering racing for these networks care about the sport. So they want it to do well no matter what network
yeah.
has it. It's not 100%. Like basketball or football where some of these people, racing is more family oriented where they want it to do well.
Yeah. The other thing I want to get into before we kind of wrap up the conversation on this is something we mentioned earlier. Who do we think
would be the booth.
So there's a couple drivers that come to mind for me to be the ones, because we already have next year it'll be Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, right, on
yep.
Fox.
So like, what are the new booths
NBC
look like?
Is Jeff and Dale. So the new booths, I could see a guest from the download this year, Jamie McMurray, poking his head into either Turner or Amazon. And the other one that came up into my mind was Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch would be great.
Kurt would be one.
I think you go.
Well, I was going to say, Jamie is with Fox right now.
Is he? Oh, he's
yeah,
on Race Hub.
Right. He's on Race Hub. So I don't know. That one thing is contracts.
Right.
Are they willing? But Kurt Busch, putting him on Amazon for those 5 weeks.
You know who's, I mean, I'm going to throw one name out. Danica Patrick.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, she does.
Well, she's an NBC.
Fox.
She is an NBC.
She's an NBC employee.
She does IndyCar.
She is NBC.
Yep.
Yeah, but again, I mean, these TV contracts could be moving around.
Or,
I mean, she's not utilized really in the NBC broadcasts
or,
on NASCAR, so.
And he still does MRN, Rusty Wallace.
Rusty Wallace would be good, too.
Would be a great one.
Yeah, so some interesting ones. Plus, you don't know, I mean, heck, there could be a notable enough driver that retires in 2024 that could be a good fit
yeah.
for that booth.
I'm willing Amazon Dirty Mo will contract.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Us three will do it for you guys.
We're cheap.
We'll do the Manning cast.
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Can we move on to another topic?
Sure.
From it kind of connects to last.
Yeah, when
Mo
Justin
Live.
Allgaier was on, he spilled his drink. It was, I mean.
It was unfortunate.
Unfortunate, but I'm kind of happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you weren't the first one.
First one. Curlin called it a party foul and proceeds to pull out of his wallet a party foul card. Why he carries it, let's not go down that road.
There it is.
See, look at how fast I got that for
but
you.
But where did you pull your wallet from?
Front
what
pocket.
Pocket?
Front pocket.
Your front pocket.
You got a problem with that?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Why is that?
Because the wallet goes in the back pocket.
Not necessarily.
No. Oh, 00 already commented front pocket. My man. So what, you sit on your wallet all the time?
I'm sitting on it right now.
By the way, I feel like I could pickpocket you easier if your wallet's in your back pocket than it
well,
is
Well, not right
pocket.
Now because he's sitting
you're
down.
Not.
Huh?
When are you going to pickpocket me?
I'm just saying, you're more susceptible to it.
So you keep,
I'm not saying I'm
you keep
going
anything
out
in it, you keep anything in your back pockets?
If I'm walking around, I keep my phone because
I could steal your phone!
But here's the thing. because it's just more readily accessed.
So wait,
okay, fine.
I can steal your phone. All
right, I won't even make the pickpocket. All right, I don't care then. I won't even make the pickpocket argument. I won't even make it. That doesn't have to do with anything. You could easily be pickpocket front or back. Doesn't matter to me. It's about accessibility. And I don't go to my wallet as much as I go to my phone. When I walk around, I put my phone in my back pocket. I can easily take it out. And when I sit down, I've got nothing in my back pocket to sit down.
Your theories, both of you guys are wrong.
I have no problem
both
with how I operate,
watch,
so I don't
watch.
Really care what you guys think.
We're going to do this. What, like, boom.
Yeah, well, that's his argument for his wallet.
Boom. Both out. Like, they're both out fast. I would say it takes
Dalton.
It takes longer to get out of
the back.
You guys
are both making counter arguments for each other's own arguments.
No, my argument is it's easy to take the phone out of the front pocket.
It's easy to take your wallet out of your front pocket.
But he says he doesn't use it. His argument's backwards.
Both of your arguments are backwards. You guys
are
both stupid.
I feel like the more secure pocket is the front. I'm not going to use it as much. And so I'm going to keep my wallet and keys in my front pocket because
here's
I know I'm
wallet
not going to go
keys
around.
In the same pocket?
Here's what I'll say.
Are you crazy?
Here's what I'll say.
Wallet and keys right pocket. Phone either front left or rear left.
Go ahead, Dalton.
Here's what I'll say. Okay. First of all, when I'm sitting down, wallet's not anywhere near me. It's on a table. It's on my backpack. It's somewhere else. It's not in my back pocket. I don't like sitting on it in my back pocket. If I'm carrying it somewhere and I'm going out, if I'm wearing a jacket like this, it'll go in my jacket pocket.
See, I don't do that. That's risky.
Or it'll go in my front pocket, in my left front pocket. My right front pocket is exclusive for my phone. You can actually see there's outlines on my pants.
Some people have skull rings.
I have a cell phone ring. Cell phone ring. So I think that you guys are both wrong.
Dude,
I think everything should stay in the front pocket.
Evan says it depends the pants. So like wallet, front right pocket while wearing shorts, back pocket wearing jeans.
I have to check some. I'll be in the car sometimes and I'm like, did I grab my wallet? And I'm like, I have to check.
You do the pat.
I have to pat because I can't feel it. I don't feel my wallet.
The other
like right now, I can't tell that I have it on me.
Well, maybe you should put it in your front pocket because I can tell you I got my wallet right here.
The other beautiful
thing. But it doesn't bother me when I sit, is what I'm saying.
There's a wonderful place where I also keep my wallet where it actually isn't even on my person, and that is my girlfriend's purse. And that is the best option of all. Is you keep it right there.
But can we acknowledge that wallet and keys in one pocket is just
only out of a necessity. Only out of a necessity. My pockets are more than big enough to hold both.
If I'm walking around a racetrack, right? Where it's just me and my jeans, right? That's it. That's it, man.
That's a country song.
I've got my wallet. It really is. Wallet and keys are front right. And then the phone can rotate wherever it's
my
put
phone
left.
Is
Wait,
always
rotate?
In the
it
right
should
front.
No. Wallet, keys, and phone should always be in the same pocket every time.
It's a matter of accessibility.
Accessibility? You act like
I don't
the
even
front
know,
is harder
I don't
than the
even
back.
Know why we're having this argument because I genuinely don't care what your guy... What, like, I know it works
and
for
that's
me.
That's fine. The person who really took this hard
and Dalton, you're
was
good.
Travis.
I want to fight Travis.
Yeah, I'm fine
this.
With that.
I didn't even think about it until you brought it up. You put a poll out.
Well, because someone tweeted at me, they're like, front right pocket, and I didn't even know that was an atrocious
front
thing to
right
do.
Front right is a little weird. All right. Yes, because I can
not
do that.
Oh.
Right? Like, I can do this.
Yeah. Same.
Okay, well, I guess that's fair. And are you a lefty?
No.
Oh, well, you're just dumb. That's what you are. Unbelievable.
Dude, it works for me. Like, I have no problems with how I do it.
I don't know. You guys are both dumb.
Thank you. James agrees. I can always count on James, and 00 even has my back.
I don't know. my girlfriend wants us to fight.
Jeff is team. Jeff is team Travis.
Kaylee. Don't carry Dalton's stuff next time. Make him carry
it
himself.
I'll tell you.
Hey, Jeff, thank you.
That's on the list of reasons why I love her. That's in the top five.
You know what? Actually, we're the same in a certain way because I also keep my phone and keys in Kaylee's purse.
we take it home over the weekend. He's completely lost. He has no idea where he's going. Yeah, that is so funny.
Oh, I can't.
I love arguments like this because I get to see y'all's true colors, and I hate you both a little bit more every day.
Man, I hate myself too.
I'm right though.
No, you're not.
I'm definitely right on putting two things in one pocket.
I put two things in one pocket every once in a while.
Wait. So wait, hold on. Where's the phone go?
Front right.
Front right.
Left for me.
front left, left-handed. Front left.
Yeah.
See, this is awesome. I get a text from Dale. He's like, he wanted to weigh in on the whole thing, and I'm like, where do you keep your phone? And he says it's the back pocket. So
I mean,
you can't be sitting on your phone.
But I'm not. I don't.
Well, Dale does.
Dale also has the little stand on his at his chair. So like when he sits down, it makes sense. He's already
like,
pulling it
when
out.
When I'm walking around, it's in my pocket. And before I sit down, I take it out. I put it on the table or wherever it needs to go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do that too.
Not a problem. I'm not doing that with my wallet every time because I don't want to constantly be putting my wallet. And
you have a memory of a goldfish, and you will
places.
Forget it because you forget your water bottle, your sunglasses. The amount of times that you've had to walk back into the office to get something when you're trying to leave.
You left your sunglasses here the whole time that you were
in Las
Vegas.
I've got like three different pairs of sunglasses, and they're all in different places.
Yeah. They have different homes.
But that's the point. There are sunglasses that live in the car because I know I'm going to need them. I leave them in the car. It's like, I don't have a problem with it.
Man. I would love to rock a fanny pack. Yeah, that Sterling Marlin one we saw a couple months ago is one I really want. Or a Dale Earnhardt one, of course.
Yeah.
Well,
A merce.
Yeah, it's not a merce. It's a satchel. Indiana Jones wears one.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things I do want to shout out before we kind of wrap up the stream. There's a lot of stuff that went out today, and some stuff that might go under the radar if you're not looking out for it. Right now on our Dirty Mo Media YouTube channel, the one that you're all watching, our first ever Dirty Mo Media Yule log is out. So if you're sitting around at home, if you're opening presents with the family later, if you want to, you know, put some ambiance on the TV, it's got Christmas music,
yeah,
it's got the sound of crackling.
If you're having a dinner.
Yeah, throw it on.
Throw that on.
It's a beautiful fire.
You bring the girlfriend, boyfriend over for a date.
Yep.
Just want to talk, have a
set
drink
the
and
mood.
Relax.
You know, not everybody has a fireplace. And also, it's like, what do you really want on the TV when you're having a conversation or throwing a Christmas party? Do you want, you know, like some reruns of... I don't know, some sitcom that you don't care about?
What's that Christmas Story, that awful movie? Don't put that on. That movie's crap.
We'll talk about movies later. That's a whole nother Dirty Mo Live. And also, the other announcement I want to make is...
So wait, did you share what it is?
It's actually in the chat.
Oh, it's in the link.
Yule log. It is that's the Dirty Mo Media. I did say that.
Oh, you did?
I did.
I was reading comments.
You pulled an Andrew.
My God.
So, Dirty Mo Media Yule log. Go check that out. The other thing is, we actually, based on our last Dirty Mo Live... We did the Christmas song draft. There is now a playlist on Spotify of those Christmas songs.
Yes.
So if you're riding in the car, throwing a Christmas party, go ahead and put those on. If you search the best Christmas songs of all time by Dirty Mo Media or go to our social channels, you will find the link to that there. So go save that.
Who the hell from our account said way to go, Andrew?
Colby did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colby.
Colby.
I think she was making fun of me. She was making fun of me, though.
Colby is unbiased.
Okay, thank you.
She can be unbiased.
No, she's making fun of me because I wasn't paying attention. Oh, so she's commenting.
This is a fourth wall
Colby,
break.
Colby, can you comment what they're saying and put it in the comments
this
so
way
I can
he'll actually
them?
Understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. And on that playlist includes a special song where all three of us will be singing on it.
That's not true at all.
That's
it's
a complete
beginning
lie.
To
don't
look
lie.
A lot like Christmas.
Mike's Alabama playlist will have to make an appearance.
We got somebody from Curacao watching.
Curacao, yeah, they've been on before. Yeah.
Hunter Gaines Racing, Christmas show.
I don't know. Double O, that draft's coming, don't worry.
I don't know if we will be having a Dirty Mo Live Christmas show. We could.
We'll probably do one.
But keep your eye out for a few things to drop on the DBC podcast feed beyond just a Christmas show.
Yes, there will be a few.
But there will be a DBC Christmas show.
But yeah, so we've got
When's the best stuff coming?
I don't know. Part of me would think Monday.
Monday? That sounds...
I would think.
I'll have to talk to the guy that schedules the social stuff.
Yes,
and see
yes.
If that
I used to work with him.
Really?
You don't schedule the podcast, though.
Yeah, I heard he was a jerk. Well, I mean, that's fair. Just saying.
Holly, more off-season Dirty Mo Lives.
Does a kangaroo keep its wallet in its...
or its phone in its fanny pack? Well, I don't know. But...
Well, we'll have a kangaroo on. We'll
next
call
time.
Him.
We'll have
call
kangaroo
him up
Jack.
Next time. Yeah.
Yeah, so Dirty Mo Lives are coming. Keep an eye out also for our top 10 moments of the year on YouTube. We are posting those. And our best of 2023 social clips. So there's some funny ones. we've hit a few bangers already, and the ones coming down the list later in the month are hilarious. So
let me hit you with this, just because it's an interesting prompt. We don't have to do a whole discussion on it. Favorite NASCAR game and movie growing up from Nicholas.
NASCAR game is NASCAR Thunder 2003 or maybe 2002, whichever one Dale was on the cover for. Mm-hmm. Played that on my GameCube. My favorite movie is Days of Thunder. Mm.
I'd answer, but I bit my tongue earlier. It's hurting really.
Dirt to Daytona was good.
Poor Travis.
I was eating some
poor
Laffy Taffy.
Poor Travis.
The tongue and the Laffy Taffy got.
So it I was always a console guy. Mm-hmm. So my video game, I still am convinced this is the best NASCAR video game. Like the physics, everything about it was perfect. It was NASCAR 15.
15?
Yeah. It was like the last one playing before it went to like the new
motorsports
games regime.
Are you
or
talking
whatever
about 2015?
Yeah, NASCAR 15. I God, love that so game. Young.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was playing NASCAR 2002.
I was working.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dirt to Daytona was good. Total Team Control was a good one. NASCAR 06.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, see, you're just too young.
Sorry,
all right,
man.
Well, this is fun. I think, you know, chat, put something in the chat for Andrew to read to say goodbye, because yeah, that's the only way he's going to pay attention to
someone
anything.
Someone
want to
give me a line
on
to.
Yeah. Someone give Andrew a witty one-liner to sign off the
and
show
and then give
with
us a witty one.
God, I'm
a witty
done
one.
I can't.
A witty one-liner to open with.
Oh, there
next
you go.
Next time.
Hey, read.
Hey, okay. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you all. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Dirty Mo Media, for commenting that.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.